their heart and mind to the full scope of the truth of the Word of God. So I'm going to read from Proverbs 23, verse 23, and John 8, 30, 32. So if you disagree with me in prayer for the Lord to make mere words full of life and power, amen? So Lord, I just pray for your anointing. Lord, use my stammering lips sometimes, Lord. My confused thoughts sometimes, Lord. Make them powerful, make them full of life. Fill them with truth and grace this morning. Lord, let it penetrate our hearts and do a work and establish us deeper into your kingdom. In the name of Jesus, we pray, and everybody said, amen. I was starting to think about shedding this suit, you know, because our society is kind of getting away from suits, but all of these young people are starting to wear suits, so I think I kind of want to identify with the younger crowd. So I decided to keep on wearing them for a while. Praise God. Proverbs 23, verse 23. That should be easy to remember if you like this verse. Proverbs 23, 23. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Buy the truth and sell it not. Once you get it, never ever get rid of it, no matter how much. Notice it says sell it not, meaning the devil and society have all kinds of offers for you. Give that truth up, but don't sell it. Amen. You hang on to it. It was bought for you by Jesus Christ himself. John 8, 30, 32. One of my favorite verses, remember at the old church, we had it up on the wall over here. At John 8, 30, 32, as he spoke these words, many believed on him. That's the power of the word of God. It'll get people to believe. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And that's the caveat or whatever that word is before this next verse. Verse 32 doesn't work without 31 being tied into it. But verse 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Isn't that something the worship leader this morning happened to pick that song? You know the truth. And man, that's really in unity with the Spirit of God. And of course, that's why I picked that chorus. But anyways, and there's an all-out attack today on the truth by our society. And it's a subtle attack of the devil, a subtle approach by the devil to, in the final outcome of all of this attack, to discredit our Bible and to deem it outdated. So people might not put down your Bible, but you just say, well, it's just a little outdated. Come on, you got to get with the times. Religions move with the times. Theories move with the times. But Jesus is the same. Amen? Praise God. The truth is the truth. 2 plus 2 was 4 back in the Garden of Eden. And it's still 2 plus 2 is still 4 today. Christianity today says, or Christians today say they fully believe their Bibles. But when it comes to any discussions concerning truth, they begin to waver a little bit. There seems to be a lack of confidence in Christians to fully embrace the truth of the Word of God. Many unbelievers and skeptics may not get into a debate with you on the doctrines of the Bible. One reason is they don't know it. They're good. Sometimes you get in discussions with people and they go, well, did you ever read the Bible? And that pretty much ends it right there. They say, well, I read through it once or something. It's like, it doesn't make them any kind of authority to argue the Bible, so they know that. So they'll just argue other things about truth. They'll just argue against truth. Do you realize that if they can get you to question or disregard any truth or come to their understanding of the truth to make you feel about truth the way they do, then when they get you to that point, they can simply point to your Bible and say, well, then this book is also open to men's ideas and men's interpretations. One tactic is for them to play on your emotions. They say things like, I believe God is too loving to send anyone to hell. And for you to argue against that makes you, in their eyes, an uncompassionate, mean, judgmental person. That's often why I don't get in those arguments. Because that's what they just wanted to do. They wanted to make you sound like you don't care about anybody when actually you love more than most people do. If you have the love of God in you, you love people. But it can tend to make you even question the truth. You start questioning the truth, you start getting yourself in trouble. Truth is the state of being true. Huh? Pretty good definition. Truth is absolute. Otherwise, it would just be opinions, it would be ideas, it would be agendas, it would be personal judgments you make. Some call personal preference truth. Personal preference, though it may be true to you, isn't absolute truth. Some of you would say, man, Wisconsin is the best state to live in. They have the best climate. And then somebody like Lori would say, oh, I know a place that's nice and warm down in Arizona. So what may be true to someone else is not true to someone else. We're not talking about absolute truth. We're just talking about personal preferences. These kind of arguments that people get into are intended to sidetrack you and trip you up with confusion with the purpose of making truth seem unstable. So they might not attack, what I'm saying is they might not attack the word of God, but they'll just attack general truths. You know, we've seen that just happen recently. I guess I'm just saying what I heard, but I heard it from a couple people. Lauren Daigle, she was asked if homosexuality is a sin. And I love her songs, and I believe she wrote that Dry Bone song. But I guess her response, I don't know if you've heard it, was, I don't know. So there she's put under pressure in the limelight to stand for the truth. I think she probably does know if she's really a Christian, if she really reads her Bible, but she didn't have the guts to say. So she got challenged. And after a while, you keep on giving into that. It starts making truth unstable to you. And then with the final intent to get you to disregard truth, period. Society insists that truth is what is relevant to society. What society wants to accept is what is true. Whatever is true to you, that is what truth is. You ever have anybody say that to you? Say, well, you know, go see if, I don't know if the Bucks are playing or not, but if you think you can get in for a dollar, go down there and try it. It isn't going to work. So what is truth for you isn't true if it's not truth. Pilate was a skeptic of truth, and he asked, what is truth? Then God gave him the opportunity to know truth, standing right there in front of him. Right before Pilate himself, he's looking right at truth. And truth is piercing, right, looking right back at him. But he decided to cave in to the people. And he rejected truth. He could have asked, what is truth? And just like that, he could have got a revelation. And like, oh, I'm looking at him. And he could have been instantly changed. But he refused it. He gave in to the people. Isaiah 25:1 says, O Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. So he's been the truth from ages past, from eternity past. He's been the living truth. And Jesus Christ, as we know, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I wonder what's going to happen with the younger generation, because our God doesn't change. And a lot of us old fogies, we hate change, right? Isn't there's all kinds of books out there on how to get your people in your church to change? You know, I've never bought any of them. I figure I'll let the Lord do that work. Let him change you from glory to glory. Amen. But as the young people, they only know change. They're going to be the generations like, we don't want to be stable at anything. We don't want to go through the same old thing for a whole month or two where we're like, well, I want my same old songs that I've been singing for 50 years, you know. But truth is of the utmost importance for Christians. It is the bedrock. It is foundational. Peter's confession was about truth. He says, upon this rock. What was the rock? The true words that Peter spoke. He says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know, the Catholic Church has taken that to mean Peter, you are, that he's saying, Peter, you're a rock, that you're the rock that the church is going to be built on. We know that's what they say. But what he's really saying, he's saying, what you just said there, Peter, those words of truth that just came out of your mouth, yes, indeed, I am the Son of God. I am the Christ, the Son of the living God. And it's those words of truth that you spoke is what I'm building my church on. And if those words are ever, if those truths are ever tampered with, it starts making the church unstable. 1 Timothy 3:15, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest not know how thou oughtest to behave, or oughtst to behave, thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. Praise God. It's the very ground we stand on, is the truth. It's the pillars, it's what holds us up. It's the truth of God. If the church does not exalt and promote truth, then she ceases to be of any value in society. And you know, the church is going to be judged by her handling of the truth. You are going to be judged on your handling of the truth of the Word of God. Deception will come to those who receive not the love of the truth. If you refuse truth, if you refuse to fully embrace truth, you have to fully embrace it. You just can't believe some things. You have to believe it all. If you refuse to do that, what lies ahead for you, if you have an unrepentant heart, is that you will you'll be deceived, you'll be deluded, because you refuse to love the truth. Praise God. If you wonder why you have eyes to see, you wonder why you get revelation and knowledge of God? It's because you love truth. And when you love truth, God opens your eyes to see things unbelievable. A simple verse that everybody can quote, and you can quote 1,000 times, and one day the Lord just opens your expanse of your understanding and say, what a verse! I never knew it really said that like it did. And you try to explain that to somebody, and they're like, they're not moved, but they got to get the revelation himself. And revelation will never come to you. Deeper understanding will never, deep will never call unto deep if you do not open your heart to fully embrace all the truth of God. You know, Jesus, he preached truth to the multitudes everywhere he went. And if they followed him to the next place, he just preached it to them again. He just never let up, because truth, as we read, is what sets people free. It says it shall make you free. It means to liberate, and it means to exempt. I like that. Not just free you, but it exempts you from moral, ceremonial, and mortal liability. That means that everything you've done immoral, everything you've done, all of the ceremonial things you may have done, all of these different things we've done to offend God, when you receive the truth, when you see Jesus Christ, and you receive the truth, it exempts you from the curse of the law. It exempts you from the curse of your sin and sets you free. And just like that, we are made a brand new creature. Just like that, we're set free from our sins. Praise God. You don't have to go through, you don't have to say 5 Hail Marys and 3 Our Fathers. You don't have to do so many hours of community service. It's the instant you love truth, the instant you embrace truth, the instant you give yourself over to the truth and decide that's what I'm living for, just like that, God forgives you, makes a brand new creature out of you. He liberates us from religious obligation and exempts us from the penalty of not keeping it. Of course, we are called to keep the law of God, the moral law of God after we're saved. Of course, I'm talking about all that we did before we were saved. Truth sets you free from religion, because religion tells you you are never good enough and you have to try harder. You're trying to do it on your own when you can embrace truth and you can be set free right away. I'm free from death and I am free to live. Praise God. You know, when I never understood this until some years later. You know, as I look back in my life, I read the Bible different times before I became a Christian. One particular time I was working at Ellis Chalmers. I had just started there, and a guy there, he wasn't a Christian or anything, but he says, "Oh, there's this movie on tonight called The Omen." And he says, it's about a boy that's born. He's like the Antichrist. And on his, they part his hair or something, he has the number 666 tattooed or whatever in his head. So, of course, I had to watch that movie when I got home that night. But he says, oh, it's all in the book of Revelation in the 13th chapter. That's what he told me. This is so intriguing to me. I went home that night and opened up. I read that chapter and like, oh, I don't get this. So I decided to read the whole book of Revelation that night to see if I could get some. Of course, I didn't get it. I wasn't even converted. A natural man can't understand the things of the Spirit. And I can barely understand that book when I have the Spirit. But I'm understanding it more, amen? God will bring, as those end days close in on upon us, all of a sudden, oh, I get it now. I get it now. Daniel says, seal up a lot of this knowledge until the end time. So one day, we're just going to like seeing things like in unbelievable proportions. Praise God. But I, at different times I read the Bible, and I've given you that testimony a few times. I had a Catholic Bible. I asked my dad to get me one for Christmas, so I was reading the Book of Wisdom. And then Joyce started selling home interiors, and she got in her starter kit, she got a Living Bible. She goes, hey, look at, they sent me a Living Bible, sent the Living Bible. So I started reading that, and I'm opening it up, and like, where's that Book of Wisdom? And I'm looking through there. Oh, this must be it, Ecclesiastes, because it kind of, but you know, I didn't understand then. But I like Proverbs, and I like Wisdom. And I used to ask God, before I was a Christian, I'd say, God, give me wisdom. And he did. Sometimes, you know, and the Bible says it, that he doesn't hear the prayers of the unrighteous, of the sinners. But there's an exception to that when you are calling on him. When you want him to reveal himself to you, well, those are the kinds of prayers he does. If he never heard our prayers, we could never repent to him and say we're sorry. But he's just not going to be in our lives as an unbeliever as he is in his children, is what that means. But I like wisdom. I like watching Kung Fu because Kwai Chang Kane would say wise things. He would talk real slow and distinct. And I never liked Star Trek, but all of a sudden I started liking that because Spock, all he could say was logic. So I was really intent on finding wisdom, and I found it. But after you know, and then, of course, being raised a Catholic, I was told that the Bible wasn't really true. Like we teach it, good stories and examples and historical accounts and that. So that all was, I didn't understand it then. I left the disappointment in me. But after I became a believer, I realized what I wanted was I wanted the Bible to be true. Because if it was, then I could read it for myself. And then I could find out about God by myself. And I could learn about God all by myself, come to find out the Bible was true. And it does, and it set me free. Praise God. And that's why the revelation of truth in my life. That what is that great revelation? I am the way, the truth, and the life. Meaning the truth is a person. That was my revelation. Truth is a person. Praise God. I got a lot of miles out of that. And I still am. But the truth sets us free. And one reason is because Jesus, because the truth is a person. He is the way. He comes in our life. He forgives us. He gives us his Spirit. He gives us power to live for him. So this is one way the truth sets us free. Another way truth sets us free is it frees us from sin. It sets you free from the power of sin. How does it do it? It reveals to you what is sin, first of all, what is right and wrong in your life, and then the living truth gives you the spirit of truth to give you power to do what is right. Amen. So we can actually, we don't have to fear our sins being revealed. I'm sure it's in the heart of man, in most of us, that we don't actually want to know just how far we are from God because we feel helpless. What could I do about it anyway? What could I do to possibly make it right before God? So I would just rather not know. I think that's hidden in the hearts of a lot of people. But praise God, we can know. We can know every single thing. Why? Because he has given us the power to have victory over. No matter how disgusting, no matter how vile of anything that could be in our heart, we can ask him to let the truth reveal it. And like that, we can repent and have victory and power to never, ever do it again. You know that, church? You don't ever have to sin again. That's a hard thing for us to accept. But even John says, not when you sin, but if you sin. We don't have to sin. We have the truth to reveal to us all the time what's right or wrong. And we have and even truth itself restrains society. Why are they always coming after the church to get rid of your truth? Because they hate the truth. They hate what it does. It hates how it gives them, it makes them feel convicted and makes them, angry with these Christians believing what they believe. The third thing that truth does is set you free. It will direct your future. The world will give you all kinds of advice how to succeed in whatever you do. I remember sitting at the Club 300 bowling alley from about 12 years old. I pretty much hung out there till I got saved at 27. But there was always that guy or two in the bar that had all of the wisdom, that everybody talked to. And he's just as miserable as anybody else. But he had all the wisdom. And they have all kinds of advice to tell you what to do. And most of it's wrong. I remember Justin told me when he was a young boy and he got a job portering cars at the Pontiac or the GMC dealer on 27th Street. And he announced to them that he was engaged. And all of the guys were asking, well, did you do it yet? And I said, oh, no, I'm saving myself. And all their advice is, well, you got to try it out. And it's all of their advice. But we know what the Bible says. Amen? And he knew what the Bible says, and the truth kept him right. Praise God. It'll direct your future. You can be assured that the truth of the Bible is absolute and positively the best way to go. The great American dream promises a fulfilling life. Promises you your life is fulfilled if you can get successful and rich. But I still remember watching Tom Brady. Some of you might have remembered from years ago. 3 Super Bowl rings he only had then. It's like 6 now? And 5? Okay. Only 5. Anyways, I remember it was quite a few years ago. They're interviewing him on TV about his career. I forget what news announcer was doing it, but I was watching it, and he's saying something like, it's been such a long time ago, he's saying something like, I have these 3 Super Bowl rings and everything, but he says, there's just still something missing in my life. And I yelled at the TV, it's Jesus Christ! But he didn't hear me. And he's got a couple more Super Bowl rings, and I'm sure if you could ask him today, he would probably still say, yeah, but there's still something in my life. I'm going to try for another Super Bowl yet. Maybe that'll do it. But if it did, he'll still say there's still something missing in my life. Success, money, all of the pursuit of the things in the world will not satisfy you like truth will. Truth will guide you and direct your life. Praise God. Imagine spending your life pursuing something that you didn't even know was true, like treasure hunters. Seeking after things that the legend of the treasure in some island for 200 years. People are, in fact, out there in Arizona, the Lost Dutchman's Mine. There's supposed to be gold buried out there in the desert. And people spend their life looking for it and never find it. What a disappointment. Aren't you glad you can find the truth? Praise God, and be set free when you do. It's like the parable of the man finding the treasure, the buried treasure. And then once he found it, he sold everything. Don't sell everything you have and then go looking. Find the treasure. And when you find it, buy it. Sell everything you have and give it all over to Jesus Christ. Buy the truth. It is safe to set your heart to believe fully what the Bible says. No matter what the devil says, no matter what society says, no matter what your family or friends say, or even your own mind. You got to be faithful and dedicated to the truth. It's like an antidepressant. You don't have to fear your future if you let the truth order it for you. Praise God. And we all have that safe path to walk. The fourth thing truth does, it exposes all that is false. We've talked that it exposes sin, but it exposes what's false. And I'm sure every one of us in here at one time or another has embraced or at least considered some doctrines out there that are false or have an element of, you know, maybe there's a lot of truth in it, but there's some things in it that are false. And every one of us maybe that have been a Christian for a while may have embraced or have considered some of these things and studied it out and then say, nope, I'm not going that way. And I know great men of God that done. David Wilkerson says he started getting into the prosperity gospel for a while, and then, you know, his eyes were opened to it. So this is what truth does. It exposes everything that is false out there in the world of biblical doctrine. It exposes the deeds of the heart. John 3:21 says, "But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, and they are wrought in God." And then in John 14:17, it says, "Even the spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive." What a privilege you have, saints of God. Only you can get, you know, Christians all over the world, of course, can only receive the spirit of truth. "Even the spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." Praise God. And that's what happened when the Spirit came. He wasn't just with the believers anymore. After the resurrection, then the Spirit came into people. We don't think of it this way, but when we repent, what we've really done, besides repenting of our sins, is we've opened our heart and we stood honestly and openly before the Lord. We had to come to terms. We had to come to the end of ourselves and just say, "Here I am, God. All that I am." You know, it is so true. It is so true when they say you can come to God as you are. But I don't like the part when they insinuate you can leave as you were. No, you leave a brand new creature. Amen? You leave a changed person. But it's true, you can come to him as you are. But you have to open up your heart and recognize you're a sinner, totally surrender and yield yourself. What you're doing is you are becoming maybe honest for the very first time in your life. It could be possible. Be the very first time you're just like, "I'm letting go of everything, God. I'm exposed. My heart is open to you. You see everything. You know everything about me. I repent of it all. I couldn't possibly say all my sins. I just repent of who I am, a sinner. I'm open to you." And bam, he comes in. Woo-hoo! Hallelujah. And what you've done when you've done that is you accepted from that moment on the absolute truth. Because if you accept Jesus and he is the way and the truth, then you are accepting the truth. People like to accept Jesus but not the truth. Well, you can't have him without the truth. And you can't have the truth without him. They go together like peanut butter and jelly and peas and carrots and soup and sandwich and horse and carriage. Mark 5:33, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. Isn't that awesome? When you get in the presence of God, you can't help but open up your heart and let your whole life be exposed. Tim, aren't you glad you'd hate it if your heart was open and exposed to me? And I'd hate if my heart was open and exposed to you. I wouldn't even want to come here. I'd call in sick every single day. But aren't you glad that you can go before him? Your heart can be open and exposed before him, who's full of love and mercy and wants to forgive. Praise God. He doesn't point out our sin to make us feel miserable. He wants us to feel miserable, but he wants to forgive us. Praise God. In 2 Timothy 2:25, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Kind of insinuates here is you are willing to acknowledge the truth then, that he will forgive you if you repent. And the last reason that truth sets us free, it sets us free and gives us an ability to worship God. Since we're on the subject of homosexuals, it was, I believe, the Hillsong pastor that said gays can worship with them, but they just can't be in leadership. Now, all he's saying was they can do their best. The best they can do is actually, in my estimation, is participate in the singing, because it's impossible to worship God if you're not in spirit and in truth. Amen. I don't know if that's really taught much anymore today, but you cannot worship God unless you embrace truth and love truth and you're in the spirit. All you're doing is singing. And you can clap your hands and you can jump around and you can be excited. You can sway. A couple of the kids, weren't they swaying up here as they were singing? You can do all of that, but it's not worshiping God. It just feels good in the emotion. John 4:24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So, I think you know this, if you hold to the truth, you will not be popular. Is that okay? Can you get over that dream of being popular? And then you become a Christian, and then you want to become a popular preacher or something. Want to be popular in the world, then you want to be popular in the church. And thank God, I don't know if I'm totally delivered, but the Lord delivered me bundles and oodles of wanting popularity. In fact, I hope I don't go too much the other way, where I'd rather just not be around anybody. I don't want to be that way either. A hermit, yeah. A spiritual hermit. But you won't be popular if you're going to love the truth. You're not going to be popular if you're going to be a genuine Christian. But heaven will sure take notice of you. And you know who else will take notice of you is hell. You'll be popular in hell. That's not our idea of being where we want to be popular. But Paul they knew and Jesus they knew, but they didn't know who those other guys were, those seven sons of Sceva, trying to cast out the devil in the name of Jesus. So if you're going to love God, you'll be popular in hell. You'll get your popularity. But praise God, what a day it's going to be when God says to you, because you've been faithful, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Come on and enter into the joy of my Lord. Hallelujah. Joy of the Lord. 2 Thessalonians 2:12, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. This is what happens. Condemned for eternity if you will not believe the truth. Praise God. Sometimes we get used to saying things. Praise God that we don't have to go there because we know the truth. Amen. You cannot separate Jesus from the truth. If you're going to love him, you're going to love the truth, and you have to make up your mind. You're going to be confronted. You're going to be faced one day, and you're going to be put in a situation to ask, and your heart's going to say, I need to tell the truth. I guess you could maybe say nothing. But one day you'll be pressed to say what's true. And if you love God and you love Jesus and he's in you, you will tell them the truth. After all, truth is what sets people free. Why do we monkey with it? Why do we try to cover it up? Why do we try to ease? Why do they bring people into church with all these seeker-sensitive methods and trying to keep everything low-key and subtle and kind of hide the truth and not be like real open with it? When truth is the very thing that sets them free, you might as well let them have it. Let it fly. And if they want it, they'll jump up. Praise God, I'm free. Or they'll run out the door. But it's what they need is to hear the truth. And the only people that are going to tell it are the people that have the truth in them. Amen? The people that know that he really is the truth. Praise God. So God will never receive anything that is not truth. He will correct it. And how will he do it? Praise God, he'll do it with his grace. Great judgment and wrath comes after grace. He prefers grace. He prefers forgiving and prefers delivering. But when it's rejected and refused in the face of his very own son who died for them, then of course wrath and judgment follow. But he'll correct us by grace. And he does it because he is full of grace. And we love that Jesus is full of grace. But we can never ever forget this, that he's also full of truth. He's not just truth, but he's full of truth. Everything he does, everything he says is absolute, pure truth. John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Praise God. Grace and truth go together. Very good. And you need grace to open up our stubborn hearts to receive the truth of God. I love the Apostle John. I think as we went through the book of John, noted 48 times he used the word truth, and 26 times he said the word true. More than any writer in the Bible, he spoke about truth. So if you want to know truth, read the book of John. Don't go loving his grace, though. Don't go loving the grace of Jesus and somehow don't take truth serious. Because it's his grace that opens your heart to truth. Because of God's grace, you have the privilege of knowing the truth. And me too. Whenever I say you do, that means me too. And whenever I say me, what's that? Oh, no. You get it? And whenever I say me, that means you too. I can't help it. They don't like that. Can't help it. It's in my Bible. There is an uncertainty, and I said this earlier, and this is how I'm concluding. There is an uncertainty of many of the decisions we make in life. But one thing you can be certain of is if you choose the path of truth, you'll never, ever make the wrong decision in your life. You have all kinds of business decisions to make, maybe. You got all kinds of decisions to make in the home. You got all kinds of decisions of this or that at work or you know, what bill you should pay and all of these things. And you can goof up on that, right? You can do some things wrong. But if you choose the path of truth, you can never, ever make a mistake. Praise God. So that with that choice, you'll choose the path of freedom. When you choose truth, you choose the path of freedom. And then that verse, the truth will make you free, will just ring loud and clear in your life. Amen. Praise God. Anybody want to add anything to that? Because I'm done. Well, I'm going to pray then. Lord, we just thank you for the truth. We thank you for the power, what it has done in our lives, Lord. I pray for anybody in here yet that has not surrendered their life to the truth, somehow wanted to be your disciple, wanted to be a Christian, but have never been really never been really willing to live the truth
and know the truth, Lord, that you expect from us. So I pray right now you touch hearts. And I guess I'm just going to ask right now, is there anybody in here that has yet really surrendered their life to Jesus Christ? Maybe they never quite heard it said like I did today, that there's being a Christian means that I have to embrace the truth, I have to embrace the Word of God, that it's more than just feeling sorry or repenting of my sins. And of course, that's what it takes to be born again. But never really made a determination in their heart to really embrace the truth and live the truth and let it dominate their life. I'm going to give you that opportunity. You can call on the Lord right now. You can come up here and I'll pray for you. If you've never really been born again, there's a lot of young ones in here. If you've never really been born again and you want to, and never really made up your mind to live the truth and to know the truth, you have that opportunity this morning. Anybody in here want to surrender their life to the Lord this morning, willing to stand openly and honestly before him and say, God, you can look into my heart and see all that evil that's in there, Lord, and I just confess it to you. Lord, I ask you to forgive me of it, deliver me of it, empower me, God, today to live for you, to embrace the truth.